are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men of valor, mighty women of valor. We thank God for you. Thank God for this day. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, glory to God. I pray you run through troops today and leap over walls, that the joy of the Lord be your strength. How you doing, Minister Alex?
I'm doing wonderful, sir. It's a wonderful
day. I'm glad you're back this second day joining me. I see you didn't get stoned for some of the things that you said.
Not yet, at least.
they just don't know your address. Hallelujah. We're just joking around. All right, praise God. We love the Lord, and we hope you love the Lord, too. We have been talking, and so, Father, we ask you to bless this this broadcast on today and enlighten the eyes of your people understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been talking about, oh, glory to God, women shepherds, women preaching the gospel. I want to say this is not a competition. Oh, glory to God. We were just sitting here talking about how Christ told his apostles to leave a particular person along that was sharing the gospel. Oh, glory to God. As a matter of fact, there was times that, even when I look in the Bible now, come to think of it, man of God, there's times when someone would get healed or delivered, and Christ would say, hey, go back and share it with your family. There was times that he told some folks to keep your mouth shut, but then there was some times that he told folks to go back and tell it. Hallelujah. And so we thank God, oh, glory to God, that God is using who he will in this day and age. He's broken all of these agendas. You know, we'll quote that scripture, but we still, a lot of times, people are still trying to keep women under the law. And so anyways, we were talking about how Moses showed up to Midian and sat down beside a well, a Midian well. Midian means, and you got to watch it when the Lord, starts pointing out geographical locations, because Midian means covering, and it also means judgment. Moses was a type of Christ. He's a type of Christ. He's not Christ, but he's a type of Christ. He could teach you some things about Christ. He could teach you some things about God. And so here he is. He's showing up, sits down, because isn't that like the Lord? He'll sit down and take a seat and watch what's going on. He already knows what's been going on anyways. He already knows that these women have been showing up at the well, these women shepherd. These seven women shepherds, these seven women of a priest, seven represents the number of God, have been showing up. And the shepherds have been coming, the men shepherds have been coming and bullying these women. If they would show up at the, and they would be at the front of the line, they would be on time. But if the men were late, they would come, and the Bible says that they would bully these women shepherd and literally make them go to the back of the line.
Right.
and so. Here's Moses, because he was there to be just that. He was there to be a judge and a covering. Come on. There are times when the enemy, and I'm not saying that these shepherds were enemies, but sometimes the enemy just fooled God's people. And so here they were bullying these women, and all of a sudden the Bible says that Moses, who's a type of Christ, stood up for them. Oh, glory to God. And then, now check this out. Then the Bible says that he went, because, you know, that's the problem sometimes, is that, you know, we think that we can control the water and who the water come up out of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's that scripture that we quoted in the first yesterday when we said the word Jesus, of God? So yeah, what?
Jesus said, he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Uh-huh. So if the who are we to control who the water flows out of? Are you bigger than God? And so here the water is flowing. This is what the point I want to make. He goes, and the Bible says he gets the water and begins to water the sheep of the shepherd. In other words, now he becomes, how can I say this? I'm trying to put it in. He becomes the way that the shepherds, that the sheep were getting watered. Come on. In other words, God, hopefully y'all seeing this. There's a word that I'm trying to think of, man of God, but let's say this: who was going to stop him from watering the sheep? He's watering the sheep. As a matter of fact, they arrived home. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and this is in Exodus chapter 2, that these women, when they arrived home, their father was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Their father said, "How is it that you guys have come home so early?" Because he's used to his daughters being bullied. He's used to his daughters being bullied at the well. Come on. And having to go to the back of the line. And so he's surprised. Come on. And my thing is that he says, where is he at? He says, why have you left him? Because it's amazing. Because now check this out, man of God. There are times when we said that, you know, he showed up at the well, which the Midian well, which Midian means covering, and it also means judge. And he's saying, and the father here is saying, why have you left him? Because guess what? If he's covered you or protected you, come on. If he's judged the situation, some of us have been in sin. Come on. And God has judged that situation and used it to bring us out and have become a covering. And come on. And then you know that. You know God has brought you out of some things, delivered you out of some things, and you walk away from him.
Yep. Wow.
Why you didn't bring him home with you? Come on. Why you didn't, you know. But anyways, I wanted to say that. I wanted to throw that out there and say that because, oh, man, there's a direction that I want to go, but I'm not going to go there yet, man. Jump on in there, man of God.
No, I'm just, you know, just a side thing. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians that those that preach the gospel should live with the gospel. Moses helped those women, and they got back home, and Dad said, why didn't you bring him here to feed him? Why didn't you give him something? Moses delivered those people. Moses delivered those women, and their response should have been to bless him in some way. I literally just saw, just while you're talking, I was like, those that preach the gospel should live. It's a type in the shadow. That's all I'm
saying.
Type
in the shadow. Yeah.
It's a type in the shadow.
You know, let's run over to 1 Kings. Let's go there, because sometimes we're caught up on the vehicle, looking at the vehicle instead of looking at what's causing the vehicle to do what it's doing.
Mm, yes.
Okay. The Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead.
That's probably 1 Kings 17,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 1 Kings 17.
Okay.
Said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee thence and turn thee eastward. You know, I love to study directions also in the Bible. You know, eastward. Okay, I won't even go all into that. And hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Cherith means to separate. It means to cut or to separate. And we see a separation going on in the body of Christ. Come on, we see those who are true believers, who's willing to take a stand for what the word of God has to say, and those who are willing to compromise. Come on, there's a separation going on. Oh, glory to God. We see that some people are so in love with politics. Come on, that they're willing to condemn a child to death because it's in its mother's womb, but yet you turn around and you're asking God to save your children.
Okay. All
right. Woo! Man, that just, boy, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. You want God to save your children. You, God, you've been praying. You, some of you wonder why you've been praying for 20, 30 years asking God to save my children, but yet you go and you vote, you know, and put people, wicked people, baby killers, come on, in office, oh glory to God, because they're of your party, and because the other party, the party that you're for, has convinced you that this party or this particular person is prejudiced. And so, because one of the things about the media is going to tell you a vision. Okay,
all right,
I'm going to say that again. Where did this come from?
The it's media. Necessary. Go ahead.
The media is going to tell you a vision. Come on, because they want you to visualize and see this thing and see it, even as if it's error. I've been telling people for years, man of God. I've been saying that, you know what these people are saying about this Russian collusion is a big fat lie. It's not the truth. It's this and this. Well, guess what? Now and people, you still have people walking around believing that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people walking around. As a matter of fact, I was looking the other day on social media, and Judge, I think it's Joe Brown, he came out and he says, I know Trump. Trump is a personal friend of mine, and he's not prejudiced. But I'm like sitting there saying, well, why wasn't you saying that? You know. Years ago, but one of the things that the Lord showed me, because a lot of you all, you had a hard time believing, let me say it this way. You had a hard time seeing the truth because you were sold a vision. Somebody sold you a vision or told you a vision, and you took it in hook, sink, line. How they say that?
Hook, line, and sinker.
Hook, line, and sinker. Because there was malice in your heart, or malice in the heart of a lot of God's people. Would you say, well, what do you mean by malice? Malice. Because some of us in the body of Christ have racial issues. Okay, all right. You've come up in households, and there were seeds that were sown. Oh, glory to God, that everybody of this race and that race is against you. Come on. And they sold you a vision. Come on. They planted seeds in your heart, and that fruit begin to come up, and you can only see things from one perspective, and you can't see it from another perspective. You got malice in your heart. And so what happens with malice is that malice, and this word malice, it means that you hate a person and you dislike a person to the point that you want to hurt them. You want to do them harm. Okay. And so a lot of you all went to the polls because guess what? You was sold a vision. Somebody told you a vision, tell a vision. They sold you the wrong vision because guess what? Now all of this stuff is coming out. We can talk about it now. All of this stuff, you know, who was that?
Elon Musk. Elon Musk, just,
he's exposing it. They're mad because guess what? You had a lot of parties that was involved. You had social media that was involved. All of them told these lies. Come on, tried to make Trump out to be the crook, and they were the crooks. And I'm not here to preach politics. I'm just here to tell you that guess what? You had someone in office that was not polished. Come on. He was not a polished politician, and he just spoke, you know, he just spoke and told it like it was. But you had a problem with that, and the media was selling you a vision that the man was prejudiced. But guess what? They were promoting someone that was crooked. Someone that was wicked, someone that was a crook and had been doing this thing a long time. And guess what? He undid all of this, all of the good things that were causing your 401k and all this stuff to look good. All right. Okay. You were sold a vision. And some of us need to go and repent for the malice that's been in our hearts. Come on. The prejudice. You know, you're pointing your finger at other people saying they're prejudiced, and no, you are prejudiced, and because something was found in you, Jesus said, when the devil comes, he's not going to find anything in me. And the problem with us in the body of Christ is that when the enemy came, oh glory to God, even in this time of voting, he found things in your heart. Come on. and in the past voting, he found things in your heart that you wouldn't go and you wouldn't vote for righteousness. Come on, you wouldn't vote, you know, from a conservative perspective. When I, you know what, I'm looking for those that are conservative. Those, I'm looking for what you stand for. Because guess what? If you stand for murder, if you stand for taking a baby's life, and you say, well, that's the mother's choice. No, the baby got a choice in this thing. And if God condemned the people in the Old Testament for sacrificing their children to the god Moloch, because we're at a day and age, just like in the Bible, where guess what? Now you have some states that have legalized abortion outside of the womb. You can't ask what happened to the baby up until 28 days afterwards. In other words, you can put a baby on the table and kill the baby. Kill the baby. Look what we have come to in America. Come on. Because you cannot give the devil an inch, he will take a mile. And we got to repent, body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You belong to Christ. You don't belong to the Republicans. You don't belong to the Democrats. You don't belong to anybody. Oh, glory to God. You belong to Christ. And if somebody is about to get in office and implement a law that don't line up with this word, you don't need to be voting for him. Okay, all right. I don't know, that just came up, just rose up in me.
I've got so much stuff to say with this. Just what you said at the very end. You know, the Bible says that the word of God and the spirit of God agree, okay? Which means if the word of God says no, the spirit of God is not going to tell you yes. If the word of God says yes, the spirit of God is not going to tell you no. The word and the spirit agree. You know, when you mentioned something earlier, I remember that one verse. It's in Psalms 118 verse 17, where the writer said, I shall not die but live. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You know, it's interesting how whenever we get into a situation, God's word for us is you shall live and not die. But we don't have a problem voting for people who tell unborn children you shall die and not live. That's the spirit and the word not agreeing. You know,
because stop asking God to save your children when you're condemning other children. That don't make, that's an oxymoron.
Honestly, when you stop and think about it, see, this is another thing. The Bible says righteous. Here we go.
Hypocritical.
The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Okay, one reason why it's so important to vote is because there was a time, you know, back when the Bible was written in these earlier times, when people took authority based on a sword with violence. You know, a king would take over a country. But in the United States of America and other countries, we decide by our vote who's going to rule over us. Okay, and whenever I mean, this is true anywhere. Whoever is in authority, no matter whether it's your boss at work, whether it's a president, whether it's a politician, whoever is in authority over you will determine what goes on underneath you, okay? And we have been voting for people who don't have a problem with abortion, which is why murdering and crime is increased. It's like you can't vote for somebody and put them in position over you, and that person believes certain things, because see, there's a spirituality. Yeah. There's a spiritual thing to voting. When you go out and vote, you are deciding, I want this spirit operating in my house.
Yeah.
I want this spirit operating in my life.
And you wonder why homosexuality is showing up in a lot of our homes. Come on, look at, you can't even watch a program now without the commercials showing you two people of the same sex kissing. Why? Because you voted. Guess what? Is they're even putting people in positions that are confused, that want to confuse your children, that are brainwashing your children, teaching your children about two daddies and two mamas. Come on now. And so guess what? Look at your heart. Look at what you did, because guess what? You were deceived because of the malice that was in your heart. They made you so angry at a particular person that you were willing to go and promote, willing to go and vote for trash. Come on. Willing to vote for wicked people because you have no discernment, or because you had no discernment. And it's time for the body of Christ to begin to pray for discernment so that you'll know. And I'm glad that we're talking about this afterwards, because guess what? I want you to examine your heart Because we're in a season now where you need to see the results of voting for wickedness. Mm-hmm. You need to see the results of voting for people that are promoting perversion, ungodliness, and see, because guess what? It's in your houses now. Mm-hmm. Come on. You wonder, how did this happen? How is it? Because you know what?
You voted for it.
You made them your covering. Mm-hmm. You put them over you. You when you voted for them and you knew what they stood for, you voted for that spirit to come to your house and visit and okay. And now you're seeing the fruit of it.
Some people don't figure out, why do I pray and nothing happens? Because you voted for a politician who does a lot of talking but doesn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so because it, yeah. You know, it's like,
and then they figure, okay, well, it's our job to pray for them. No, it's your job to pray for them, but it's your job also not to put them in that seat of authority. Yeah. You don't put perversion in the seat of authority and think that you're going to get. Why do you think God in the Old Testament would talk about these kings and leaders who led his people into wickedness? You putting people in office that are leading people into wickedness. It's okay to be wicked. Mm-hmm. It's okay to do this.
Mm-hmm. And also another thing, when you vote for righteousness, see, this is something I learned because, you know, just to say this, if you vote according to the word of God, even if people in positions of authority and power don't live according to the word of God, because you voted for righteousness, there's a shield of protection around you. Yep. I mean, like, there are some things. I mean, okay, good. Okay, religion has a way of taking care of itself. Religion has a way of taking care of itself. We will vote for somebody who promises that if you vote for me, I'll make gay marriage legal. And then when gay marriage is legal, you want to come to church talking about Lord, send a revival. That's so religious. I mean, it's religious because it's like, you know, going back to what we were saying, you know, about the early program, that, you know, that these people who don't want women to preach, it's amazing how this is getting tied into everything. But, you know, these people that don't want women to preach, they're protecting a religious system that keeps people oppressed and under bondage. And when you vote for bondage, bondage runs rampant. Yeah. When you vote for murder runs rampant. When you vote for somebody who promises to make abortion legal again, or when you vote for somebody who promises to protect abortion rights, don't be surprised when your children are shot down in the streets.
Yeah. God, you save my children, yeah, deliver my children, but yet you condemn. Let me say this here.
You can't vote for somebody to kill a child inside the womb, but you want God to protect your child outside the womb.
You put the check on that. Come on. You sign on the dotted line. This is, I'm voting for the murdering of children. And then you go home and you cry out for God. Okay, all right.
Shoo.
Man, you know what?
We went there.
Yeah.
But it's
we got to stop it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, and it says, and what's that scripture? If I made you sorry, hopefully I made you sorry to the point that you'll repent. Because let me show you something. Repentance causes doors to be shut.
Yes.
Repentance, when you say, God, I'm sorry, the light has been turned on, mm-hmm, you know, I'm sorry, I see now that guess what, you know, because guess what, if a thief keep coming to your house and he's selling you stuff and you keep buying it, pretty soon he's going to break into your house because he know the stuff that I sold you, it's in your house and I can get it back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this just came here. You know, we have to make a decision as believers. Who are you going to be loyal to? I'm going to say this because, you know, you and I are two black men, okay? And I'm going to put this out there. We as and I'm addressing something right now. We have to make a decision. Are we going to be loyal to our skin color, or are we going to be loyal to the word? I remember back in 2003, I lived in California for 4 years and came back. And those first few months I was back from California, the Lord was just telling me, study this. And then he told me one afternoon, he says, you need to make up your mind. He said, are you going to be a Christian man, or are you going to be a black man? He said, make up your mind, because you can't be both. And like, what he was telling me is that we're all raised to think and believe certain things. And if you're serious about following God, if you're serious about serving God, sooner or later, the word is going to challenge what you believe. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to continue to believe what I was raised to believe, or am I going to change how I believe and believe the word? That's what it means to repent. Repent does not mean to stop sinning. The word repent means to reconsider and to think again. Okay? I was raised to think a certain way, but now that the word of God has come, think again. That's why Jesus said, go in all the world and tell people to repent because the kingdom is here. There are certain things that we believe because that's how we're raised. But now that the truth has come, you got to make a decision. Are you going to continue to think the old way, believe the old way, vote the old way, live the old way? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to start living according to the word? It's about loyalty. We have to make a decision that regardless of what it's going to cost us in the natural, we got to be loyal to the word of God.
Yeah.
Okay. If the word of God says no, you don't vote yes.
Yeah.
And if you did vote yes, it wasn't God that told you to do it. You had a personal agenda. There was something that you wanted more than you wanted righteousness, and that's why you got hell on your house now.
Yeah.
That's why when you lay hands on your sick children, they don't get healed. That's why when you pray for things that happen in your family, it takes 10, 15, 20, or 30 years. It doesn't take God 30 years to answer your prayer. If you're praying for something and nothing's happening, you got to go back and find out where you slipped. Mm. Because God don't slip.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
And let me say this as a leader: if I encourage my people to go and vote for people that are pushing abortion, I got blood on my hands, and a lot of us got blood on our hands. And it's repentance. We need to repent. Repentance simply shuts the door and gives us a brand new start. All right, we thank God for you. Let me say this: at Butterfield Tree Cutting Services, 321-266-9507, and No Limits Window Tinting, 407-663-3401. Butterfield Tree Cutting Service, 321-266-9507, and No Limits Window Tinting, 407-663-3401. All right, this is Thomas Robinson, Kingdom Sounds. God bless you. We love you. And we
welcome to Breakpoint for the Colson Center. I'm John Stone Street. Before we get into today's commentary about the mission and purpose of science, I want to invite you to include Breakpoint and the Colson Center in your year-end giving. These daily commentaries are only possible because of ministry supporters like you. To give a tax-deductible gift to support this ministry, please go to ColsonCenter.org/December. That's ColsonCenter.org/December. Now, here's today's Breakpoint. The mission of scientific discovery, Johannes Kepler believed, was to, quote, think God's thoughts after him. And even for scientists skeptical of the supernatural, at least for a long time, the task of science has been to discover truth. Today, however, the pursuit of truth in natural sciences is increasingly being eclipsed by the tyranny of political correctness, and some frustrated scientists are now crying foul. In early November, in fact, over 150 professors and scholars gathered at Stanford University to talk about this, the growing threats to the scientific enterprise and to academic freedom. Among the speakers was a Williams College biology professor, Dr. Luana Moroa, who gave a troubling presentation on the ways progressive ideology is strangling her discipline. Dr. Moroa, a frequent advocate for evolutionary theory, has long slammed critics of Darwin as creationists who prioritize religion over science. These days, however, she seems more concerned about threats to science coming from a different religion, the woke left. In her presentation, she cited the growing number of biology 101 classes where students are taught that the sexes, not just gender, but the sexes, exist on a continuum. She pointed to statements by several schools, even the Society for the Study of Evolution, that now blur the distinctions between male and female, which is, as she put it, a bedrock insight of biology. Dr. Moreau also cited published papers that urge biologists to be inclusive by only talking about organisms that show the least difference between the sexes, even, and I quote here, when that has no relevance to any animal or vascular plant. She even described efforts to restrict access to population genetics data out of fear that this data could be used to promote discrimination. In other words, biologists and other scientists are being taught to ignore or even being denied vast amounts of evidence simply because that evidence could threaten politically favored ideologies. Now, this Stanford gathering could be a new high watermark for the anti-woke backlash among scientists. As Dr. Moroa concluded at the gathering, when science becomes an extension of ideology, it's no longer concerned with pursuing knowledge and truth. Simply put, it ceases to be science.